Hello, everyone. I'm David Marquez, and welcome to the first Marquez Mentality. It's a show where we're going to bring people together from around the United Wrestling Network. And this particular episode for this week is broadcasters, announcers, interviewers, commentators, the people who make up the broadcast team. And before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge what's going on in the world at the moment in the climate. We are going to have a little bit of fun here, but that's not to take away from the seriousness of what's happening coast to coast, not just here in America, but around the world. So we, like everyone who is viewing this, no matter where you're at, to know that we do support your efforts and continue to go out there and fight the cause. We support you 100%. Okay, well, now let's get to this. So who you see here is a small collective of the people over the years. We invited many people to be a part of this, but some of them are out in the streets being loud. Some people have other arrangements. Some people, like Joe Galley, is doing both. He's at work and out in the streets reporting on the situations at hand. But as you can see going across and around, there's a lot of familiar faces. You have Jeremy McKee, the Arizona graphic behind him. He is a broadcaster there for us, but also our social media wizard for the United Wrestling Network. And I think next to me is James Kincaid. He is our host in San Francisco on KGO 87. Next to him is Dan Joseph, our United Wrestling Network television champion. And you folks may remember him for the couple of years you were broadcasting on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He's also the Jeremy's partner in Arizona. Then you got Emily right there below. She is also on the Arizona program as our backstage interviewer. And next to her is longtime interviewer Grant Pachoco from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, who has gone on to become a puppeteering maven of his own. And soon we'll talk about even purchasing one of his creations. Next to him, there he is, Nick Bonanno, a jack of all trades. Carl Mandick, also a newsman who has been out of the news business for a while, but he's been with us for a long time, actually, now that I think about it. He's held many hats in the United Wrestling Network. And then right on the other side, you got Dustin Maria, the Stars from Memphis. They're our hosts of Championship Wrestling presented by Pro Shingle on CW 30 in Memphis. And then there's this guy right here, Johnny LaQuasto, who we've not seen in a while. You've seen him on a grander scale most recently, but John was with us for many, many years across all of our platforms. Then next to him, you got Andrew, who is still a part of the team, even though he's taken a knee for a minute. And right next to him is, that's a good face, Andrew, right next to him is John Roberts. John Roberts, of course, is a correspondent for us on both programs, and he hosts his own version of Championship Wrestling in Amarillo, Texas on CBS 10. Then right down there, you got Blake Troop. Blake has joined us most recently as a color analyst and our combat specialist on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And then the man, there he is, Todd Kennelly. That's it. So this is our collective this time around, gang. And we hope you enjoy what we're going to see. We're going to talk about some fun times and just get to know these folks just a little bit more. I guess I should say, too, if you don't know by now, outside of the administrative side, I have been a commentator, a color commentator, an interviewer, a voiceover guy for the United Wrestling Network from the beginning. But I'm sure you folks know that. Sport. My dog is having a heart attack, so let's see if we don't get her by him. So let's start with you, Jeremy. You have an awful lot of – first, let's just ask this question, a general question. And even if you just want to raise your hand or however this works, instead of all of us talking over each other, I'll start with Jeremy. Why wrestling?
Why wrestling? Well, I grew up a fan. I remember being introduced to Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper back in around the time of WrestleMania II. When I was in fifth grade, and another student showed me Pro Wrestling Illustrated, brought it into school, and invited me over to the house to watch some VHS tapes, and it wasn't long before I was hooked, and I've watched it ever since.
And this is something you've always wanted to just get into?
Yeah, I mean, early on, I wanted to be a wrestler early on, and my parents kind of talked me out of that. But, you know, thought I wanted to then be a manager, wanted to be Bobby the Brain Heenan or Jesse Ventura on commentary. But I don't think I ever quite thought I'd get to that point of actually being on commentary. So it's pretty amazing that I'm here with all of you guys and honored to be here as part of this group. But, yeah, just became a huge wrestling fan. Actually decided to pursue journalism in college after a letter I wrote to the editor of Pro Wrestling Illustrated was published in the letters to the editor section about Shawn Michaels and the Rockers and how they should be on the cover of the magazine. And I thought that was so cool to see my name in writing. I decided to become a sports writer and pursued a journalism degree and wanted to go into sports writing initially.
Got it. Now, I'm going to go to Grant real quick. Because of the magazine connection, and I know Grant's history a little bit. Grant, too, you were published in a wrestling magazine, too, weren't you?
That's right. I was in an early WWF magazine, King Kong Bundy on the cover. My letter saying why Jimmy Hart was the greatest manager of all time was published in there. And I, very much like Jeremy, it was after the first WrestleMania, one of the kids had gone and had a program. And I was like, what is this? I don't know what this is. And then a few months later, my dad goes, we're going on a special trip. Try to guess where it is. We're going to go Saturday night. And I was like, I don't know. And I was guessing all these things. And he goes, we're going to go to the Oakland Coliseum and see Hulk Hogan. And, I fell in love with it then and wasn't, Jimmy Hart was my go-to guy. And career day in sixth grade, I dressed as Jimmy Hart because that's who I wanted to be. And then, I went into acting and other things and comedy and all that kind of stuff. And then was very happy when you, Dave, and Mike Coughlin came up to me and were like, hey, you want to come do some backstage interviewing? And I was like, heck yes, I would love to.
Now, to add to your Jimmy Hart story, not many people get to meet their idols or the people they've been great. You not just know Jimmy, you own some of Jimmy's stuff.
Yes, now you're making me sound like I'm a stalker, but...
a little sketchy there.
But now, okay, so let's go to Memphis. So, Dustin, obviously you're an in-ring talent on top of being a broadcaster. So what got you involved? Boy, this just messed my whole eyesight up. What really wanted you to be make you a wrestler? Why did you become a wrestler?
Well, I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. That's the beginning and the end. So back before all the professional sports teams, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, and of course we have the Redbirds here that are a farm team for the St. Louis Cardinals. But before we had all that, and even before the Memphis Tigers were a big deal in basketball or football, gosh, it was wrestling. And Channel 5, Saturday Morning Wrestling, they would do over a 50 rating on a Saturday, which means that pretty much everybody in the city of Memphis was watching. So the Jimmy Hart stories, growing up watching Jimmy Hart and the King and all that kind of stuff, there was never, ever a question for me that's all I wanted to do was be a wrestler. Maria, too.
I was going to just say, Maria, I know you love professional wrestling.
Yeah, my story is actually quite the opposite. Dustin and I dated for 3 years before I even got into the ring because I had really no interest in wrestling. So sorry to break everyone's heart. But I was the on-field announcer for the Memphis Redbirds, and we actually had a local promoter here, which was Jerry Lawler's son, say, hey, Maria's hot and she can talk, so let's get her to the ring with you. And
there's
no way
she's getting into wrestling. And he said, ask her about TV. And so that was kind of the thing.
That was it. He said, there's going to be TV. And I said, okay, I'm in.
And then, you know, just like all of us, once you go out there and you do it and you perform, it's like a drug. You get addicted. You want more and more of it. And I know you've had a lot of fun. What, 5 years now?
Yeah.
So much fun.
Hey, the South gets pretty crazy. I've had water bottles thrown at me. I mean, it's pretty intense down here.
No, for sure. Now, just quickly, how do you enjoy working with your husband, or would you rather just be a free agent and go on your own?
Well, we've kind of evolved into like this power couple, so to speak. So we do everything together now. We do the wrestling, and then we also host CW30 outside of wrestling. Like, we're the face of that network.
That's right.
And then we also host the Redbirds together now. So we work together a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump over to Emily real quick. because she has a similar situation. And since we're kind of pulling the curtain back altogether, mm-hmm. you know Robert Baines very well. Not only here, but then all of us, we know what's going on. But what brought you into wrestling outside of Brandon?
Yeah, so I would say Brandon Taylor, the creator of the Hobo or Robert Baines, he introduced me to wrestling. And I came from a theater background. I came from a producing background. And so he introduced me. He was like, you need to watch this because this is theater, but with athletes. And there's such a theatricality about it that you're going to fall in love with it. So I remember I watched The Undertaker for the first time and I was hooked. And I was like, this is incredible because you could tell stories. You can like connect with fans. You can connect with an audience in ways that like I've never seen before, even in live theater. And so I was hooked and I've followed his kind of his career and his path. And I was actually his manager and kind of valet back in the beginning of the Hobo days. And so I was in the side of the ring and was hooked then. And I took a little hiatus where I was focusing on producing and I still missed it. I still was like longing to do stuff. And, you know, we're kind of that power couple too, where like he does production work for New Japan and I like have helped with that. And cause I'm like, I got to get involved in whatever way possible. And so I try to use that philosophy. I'm like, okay, I want to learn this, everything I can, because the more well-rounded you are, like, so I just like threw myself in and I'm super lucky that like, Arizona embraced me when I was like, hey, I want to do this. And, you know, so.
Cool. All right. So Blake, I'm not sure if your transition into pro wrestling is unique or not. Ronda Rousey, Dan Severn, other mixed martial arts fighters getting into professional wrestling. But when I met you, you were a competitor in the Southern California area outside of doing other bigger shows on the national scale. But I got to know you more and more through Steve Bash and George. In here in the Valley, as we, David Marquez Productions, produces a lot of MMA and boxing events for those promotions. So when we initially got together, I had an idea of how that we could include you, and we brought you in as a broadcaster. Did you grow up a wrestling fan as a kid?
I did. Wrestling was my first love. I grew up watching WCW and WWF, back to WWF. Like, it took me a while to get used to switch to WWE. I enjoy what it's all about, you know, and now that I view it as going in a performance and a storytelling, I really enjoy that aspect of or showing the underdog story. I mean, it's a live performance. I've always been into combat sports. I've had an older brother. I've had younger brothers. We wrestled and we played, you know, like.
Did you all want to be performers in pro wrestling? The people who haven't answered, just a yes or no?
Yes. Now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you all wanted to be in the ring. So
eventually, yeah, you know.
Oh, no, I did not. No way.
Not in the ring. Why not, John?
Oh, even as a little kid, I was very chubby by the time I was in fourth grade. I knew that athleticism was not going to be my strong point. So, and when you growing up as a fat kid in the early 90s, when bullying was still cool, if you guys remember that, you have to learn how to have a quick wit early on. So I knew right away, like, I loved wrestling, but I knew that performing as an athlete, that was not going to be it for me.
In my favorite yearbook signature I ever got, my freshman yearbook, this girl, Alex, she wrote, James, have a great summer. Good luck on your pro wrestling career. That's when I still thought I could be in the ring before athletic ability fully waved bye-bye to me. So.
All right. And Carl?
Yeah, no way. I even most recently was speaking to a friend that does a lot with Ohio Valley Wrestling, and as we're pulling back the curtain a little bit, I've had some run-ins with Robert Baines, and he's like, man, you gotta learn how to bump. You really gotta do it. And then he's like, actually, you know what? No, it'd be better if you didn't. You know, like, because you want to seem like the broadcaster doesn't, you know what he's doing, because you really don't know what you're doing. No, I, for me, it was, it's tough. Wrestling's always come out of pain in a more psychological life trauma type of stuff. Like, I fell into love with wrestling because it was an outlet. At 7 from my parents' divorce, I saw Lex Luger body slam Yokozuna on that ship, and I was hooked. And so from there, I was in, and then I kind of broke away from it until, as you mentioned at the beginning, I did get back into the reporting and anchoring kind of all over the nation. It's all over the place. I was in Las Vegas, and I had stumbled upon just a Facebook post from this girl, Rachel Kelso. I'm like, I have no idea who this is. She's talking about needing a kidney. Do a little bit more research, find out that she, in fact, was a wrestler for a promotion there in Las Vegas, but also for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And she was donating her kidney to her brother, who frankly didn't have many days left, and she was retiring. And I got into this ring to interview her, and it was like I was saturated with this feeling of, oh, I've missed this so much, and I don't even know what I missed, but it was like this intangible aura just consumed me and picked me back up. And so both times I've kind of gotten back in it, it's been things where it's escaping pain or showing somebody else's pain. And luckily Rachel triumphed through that, and from what I know is doing well today. But yeah, kind of two very odd ways of falling in love with it. And but no, I knew that I never wanted to bump, and I don't think I can. not even at 34. Maybe, I don't know. I'm all, you never know.
I don't know. Robert Baines is a bad influence. You never know what can happen.
I end up hypnotized, eyes spinning around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing a bunch of Hindu squats.
And when we resume production, I hope that we pick that up as well. And Andrew, so you were an in-ring talent. You're a behind the scenes guy. We've known each other for many years, but and obviously you got into wrestling because you wanted to get into wrestling. But like, you know, when you were a kid, did you really picture it in your head and like, this is it?
Yeah. Funny enough, I had an affinity to be a ring announcer. That's what I really wanted to do when I was a small child. I wanted to be the Fink. I was a big fan of the Fink. And coming time in high school, I was going to high school with a local referee by the name of Aaron Hassan.
Sure.
Hassan. Some of you may remember this name, but his name is Aaron Hassan, and he actually got involved with a show. They let him referee and screw somebody over on a fast count, and I caught wind of him doing this, and I yelled at him and said, well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to go train, and I'm actually going to wrestle. And then I think that's what the jealousy sparked me to actually try to be an in-ring talent. So at 17 years old, I went to wrestling school, and I kind of fell in love with the performing side of it. And much like, you know, some of my counterparts here, I was never necessarily athletic. So, it took me a good, I don't know, 12 or 15 years to kind of realize that I probably shouldn't be running the ropes anymore. You know, I'm just kind of ripping people off. I've always been in love with the actual in-ring performance. There's a camaraderie that you get in professional wrestling that is very indescribable. There's a brotherhood in a way. And even though I don't know people, I know people. We speak a certain language and we shake hands a certain way. There is a great deal of brotherhood within that segment of life. And it's something that I've always been in love with.
Awesome. Now, Dan Joseph, I'll let you tell it, but you wanted to be a wrestler since you came out, right?
Everybody's had such great answers, and I'm just trying to figure out where to look this whole time. I had no idea. I watched wrestling when I was young, very young. Maybe stopped when I was about 6 or so, and I watched a little bit during the wars because everybody watched, during that time.
The Gulf War. Really?
Yes. The what?
The Gulf War.
The Gulf Wars. That's when I was, you know, Hulkamania was running wild.
That's right.
I did a lot of sports, you know, footballs and hockey was mostly everything I did. And I missed that physicality, and I was starting to get older, and I wanted to do something dumb before I got too old. So I thought, why not wrestling? And
because fly fishing isn't dumb.
No, yeah. I want to do something dumb that I can, like, get hurt. That's what I want. Not, you know.
You don't know this. They, you know, he's a champion fly fisherman.
No, that's not true. That's not. Yeah.
Do you have a belt for
really?
That?
Do you
have no.
Do you have a fly fishing desk set up at home for time flies?
While he's making bread at home, he's sitting there, he's making flies.
It's not fly. My brother made the flies. It's not fly fishing. I was the New York State champion for bait casting accuracy, casting kids. I won that. I almost got like a free college scholarship and stuff. I was apparently damn good at bait casting.
Wow. Okay, wait, you have to have a trophy or a plaque or something.
I'm sure my parents do
have
ribbon, a
plaque. A giant ribbon.
I mean, I won.
How convenient. It's still in Buffalo. The trophy's in Buffalo.
Everything's in Buffalo. It's all in Buffalo. You can't look it up online. This was way before the internet.
All right.
Wait, one second. I'd like to say that brings a whole new meaning to the real world champion.
God.
Oh,
I'm not going to ask you that question, Todd, because I think we all know your answer. You've been around our programming and professional wrestling at 20 years, if not a little bit over by now. They all know that you are Hulkamania at heart. But I want to lead with this with you. So, and the rest of you can think of this as well. Your audition process. So not only have you were with me at UPW, we were together, you're doing the commentary, I was doing production. And I have hired you many times over, and you've had other positions with Showtime, with MMA, with boxing, with MMA, with me, boxing with me, Impact Wrestling, whatnot, New Japan Pro Wrestling. But do you have do you remember like our introduction and how you got sucked into my world of wrestling and how you can't shake me for the last 20 years?
I remember first meeting you back in the dingy, dark hallways of the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana when you were, you know, originally back there part of UPW. And I worked my way into that. It was funny. It was a real baptism by fire for me because UPW at the time was a kind of unofficial WWF developmental system. So the first full show that I called had Samoa Joe versus Tommy Dreamer, Victoria versus Molly Holly, Edge and Christian against, you know, with Kazarian and Nova. I mean, so, and I called it with Schmo. And I mean, talk about getting, you know, thrown into the fire. And I cringe if I ever unearth that tape and listen back because it's me trying to do my best Joey Styles impression and it's awful. But yeah, no, that I think that's where I first met you was there. And then it just kind of snowballed. We did the Tokon Fighting Spirit, the New Japan USA stuff. I think I ring announced like the best of the Super Juniors when we did the stuff for that. And then that eventually transitioned into those Columbia Square, first the wrestling showcase and then Columbia Square and four, you know, and then on from there.
Yeah, for sure. When you were going over towards Impact or TNA wrestling at the time, or even Showtime to do that stuff, is what you learned on the Hollywood program or the NWA programming, did it help you at all to secure those roles?
Oh no, definitely. And I mean, I had great tape with great talent in ring. You know, it's one thing to have a good broadcast reel, but you're going to catch their eyes too if there's great in ring talent that you're calling and telling their story. So I certainly had the benefit of that. You know, I had some, Rick had done Valor Fighting, so I had some Valor Fighting stuff to turn in. But I do recall using some of the New Japan USA stuff for MMA because it was a very strong style, MMA based style. So I didn't have a ton of MMA tape at the time, but I did have the New Japan stuff, which helped bolster that.
Sure. Hey, Laquasto, so I wish Stu were here because you guys have a unique hiring story with us. But do you remember the audition? or the introduction into the audition. I don't even think we had real auditions.
No, of course you didn't. You didn't audition me.
I want to tell you the truth. I think the video that I found of you were hosting on a CBS sports set, and I said, we could use this to do some brand association.
Oh, well, yeah, that worked out. But no, I think it was Jeremy Schott who was working the camera on another project that I did. We started talking about wrestling, and a couple months later you called. And then apparently you had meetings with Stu and I back to back on the same day. It was at a Starbucks in the Valley. I forget where exactly. And then within 2 years, Stu was trying to choke me out and throw me off the stage. So it worked out.
Yeah. And so you've gone on. I mean, you had great opportunities after wrestling with us. What were the comparisons and the biggest differences between working with the WWE and our operation for so long?
When it comes down to it, I mean, championship wrestling, it is, wow, you talk about what a great 9 years it was. Because, I mean, I came in and essentially did everything, interviews for a number of years. And then I'll never forget that I think it was a Thursday night before a Sunday taping when you sent me a message, or maybe you called me and said, hey, you're doing commentary on Sunday. I said, why? And I believe Todd couldn't make it. And I forget, maybe it was Resnick at the time. And that was I never done it before, but I immediately, it was something I always wanted to do. I just didn't want to like push my way in. I just wanted to be patient. And so yeah, I mean, championship wrestling, it's good television. The way it's shot, it's almost, you know, wrestling is wrestling, but when it's done right, it's fantastic. And that's the way championship wrestling was done. So I took every tool I had and was able to use it over the past year. Obviously, there's a different structure, a whole big learning process. And I learned a lot more about the science of matches over the last year, which is great. But at the same time, like so many great memories, so many tremendous moments, storytelling over the last, you know, 9+ years.
Yeah. And how about you, Grant? And the reason I'm going this way is because there's a historic piece trying to go from the oldest people on the show going forward. But Grant and I, we have a great affection for old comedy and puppeteering and animation and Disney parks and whatnot. And if you don't follow Grant, you're missing out because he's a great entertainer just in general. But growing up a wrestling fan, but also I knew bits and pieces about you just because we had a common friend and we had a lot of same interests. So I knew that from an improv point of view and whatnot, I can't remember the first time I met Grant. I know it wasn't in a wrestling setting, it was more social. But I knew I wanted you on the show.
Well, I was thinking about this. It's actually very funny because our first meeting, I think our official meeting about me coming on was you had the idea for Howdy Price.
That's right.
And you had originally were considering me for Howdy Price. And I even went down to Mach 1, I think, down in Orange County to start some training. And I went down to watch, and then I was going to go back, and I had this kind of like little health thing where I passed out twice. And the doctor was like, yeah, maybe you should not be, you should not doing this. But anyway, then you kept me in mind. And then one day, I think Mike Coughlin approached me or texted me and said, hey, can you come this Sunday to the on La Brea? I don't remember the name.
Showcase Theater.
Can you come? And so, yeah, that was my first. And the very first thing I did was, and I always love the story, is my first interview was with a wrestler who will remain nameless. But moments before the interview that I was supposed to interview him, Adam Pearce just laid into him and was just like, you need to shape up. You need to do this. You need to be, I need to believe you in these things. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, okay. All right, he goes, now y'all want to see some fire in this interview? And he's screaming like he's right here and the wrestler's right here and I'm in between. And then they're like, okay, go. And then Adam was just sitting just right off a frame. And so my very first time was a little nerve-wracking. And then I remember Mike Coughlin after a couple things sent me a picture of myself while I was interviewing and he goes, could you look like you're having fun, like like you're enjoying this? And so that really helped, and I've had a blast ever since. It's been it was a really fun time. I think I was there 5 or 6 years or something like that. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. Yeah,
well, Grant, to your defense, my first ever interview was with Adam Pearce and I was terrified.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's a rough first interview, Quasto.
Oh yeah.
And so people who might not know this, Adam Pearce at the time, not only was he the NWA World Champion, he was also the producer of the show and the head writer. So he was involved in all aspects. And as intimidating as he comes across on camera, that's him in real life. He's very passionate about wrestling, and he can be fun too. But when you're by those cameras and trying to get that performance out of you, he'll really get it out of you. And whether he scares the shit out of you to make you do it, the performance will be there. So Grant's right on top of it. I'd like to tell a quick story here too. And again, I don't want this to be too long, but there's so much fun stuff to talk about. So the Stars and why they're here and why Mr. Kincaid is here and why John Roberts, not why he's here in general, but why in this particular segment. I went into business with the Stars in Memphis, and it took us a very long time to convince a television station to work with us, their TV station, CW30. I want to say it was almost 2 years or maybe even more. And if you folks don't know what we're talking about, we decided to test the Memphis market outside of our syndication. So how could we make a show more local and afford us a little more guaranteed advertising and to see if it would work like a local show? So together, the three of us practically every day bugged the television station to get them to say yes. And now we've been on the air for a year, and it's a hell of a success, because off of Memphis, we now have Amarillo and we have San Francisco. But go ahead, Dustin, why don't you tell your side of it?
Well, I think we all wanted wrestling back in Memphis. And, you know, back in the classic days, that was, like I said earlier, it was like the professional sports team for Memphis was professional wrestling. And it's been roughly about 15 years before, you know, since we've had a show here. And it was Corey Macklin that had the last rendition, and it was live. So I think we were one of the last live territories on Memphis television.
Right.
Corey Macklin passed away in a car accident. Nobody was there to pick up the wrestling. So for about 15 years, people had talked about it, and they just couldn't make it happen. David found us on Facebook, reached out because we work with CW30. And, of course, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood is on a ton of CW stations all across. So it really wasn't a matter of, like, if they wanted wrestling, it was which brand of wrestling. And if you shoot something like a lot of the local independent scenes just everywhere, I mean, they're in National Guard armies, or they're in high school gyms, or they just don't have the scenery. The stage is not there. It doesn't look like the professional quality that a CW30 would want to air on television in Memphis. So we pitched a couple of different ideas. Maria was with us 100% on it, but sometimes she would have to reel back in, like, all right, so hey, wait a second. You know, sometimes they don't want to make the wrestling. Sometimes they just want to air the wrestling. And so we found a good medium. And since the success of the last 13 or 14 months, now we're talking about possibly recording the wrestling here in Memphis. And so just like wrestling from Arizona and just like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, yeah, we would have our own brand here spun off of the United Wrestling Network.
Yeah, we're working on it real hard. And, you know, talking about that, we have three people on here from the Bay Area. And it's very interesting. So I, out of everyone on here, Bimbo, I don't know him as well as I know the rest of you guys, because it's only been probably since the beginning of the year we've been working with him up there. But he has a hell of a history. He's with the Golden State Warriors. He's a broadcaster. He's a producer. He loves professional wrestling. But, you know, when you have the opportunity, and I'm going to ask the other two guys, Grant and John, both from the Bay Area, when you heard that you were going to be on KGO7 with a pro wrestling show, and again, guys who are watching this who don't understand necessarily broadcasting, KGO is owned by the Walt Disney Company. It's an ABC Disney station. And in television, that's a big deal. So go ahead, Jim. When we finally put the deal together and this is what we're going to do, you know, what were your impressions?
I mean, I couldn't have been more thrilled and overjoyed that it was coming to the Bay Area, and the fact, like you said, that it was going to be on KGO, ABC 7, like you said, just big deal. That is the name on the marquee for a reason. And I was just so happy to be a part of it. You know, like you said, I grew up a wrestling fan. And as Alex wrote in my yearbook, I always wanted to be a part of the show somehow. And like John, I have done some work for All Pro Wrestling up here in the Bay Area on commentary and everything like that. And it's just sort of funny how it came about. I left a training session with some young wrestlers and I was on my way back to my house. And I, you know, was like you said, near the start of the year. And I was like, boy, you know, I really want to find another avenue to get even more involved in pro wrestling. And I kid you not, the next morning I woke up to a text from Levi Shapiro, who's obviously a competitor and my broadcast partner here in the Bay Area. And he was like, hey, I think I have an opportunity that you might be perfect for. I want to introduce you to David Marquez. And the rest was sort of history. And one thing that I am proud of with it being in the Bay Area is that we have the opportunity and we got that deal to do it at San Francisco State until obviously the pandemic shut down. And for me as an alum of San Francisco State University, you know, they helped make my broadcast dream into a reality. So I was happy to sort of go back there and give back. And I think we turned into a pretty cool deal getting to do it at SF State. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. So, John, again, you know, growing up in the area, I know that you're a broadcast geek like I am. You know an awful lot from reporters to weathermen to you name it. When you heard, and you're more around this than most, you know, more of the inside because you work in the office. But, you know, when I was saying to people, because I know folks didn't believe at all that this was going to be on an ABC-owned and operated TV station. But, like, when you heard it, being a kid growing up in the area, you know, Channel 7's always number one.
Yeah, for me, that was a huge deal. The day that you mentioned that was the direction we were going and that it was a done deal and that we were ready to announce. That was a huge, like, milestone moment really in my life that I think about because growing up, I didn't have television for the most part. I listened to the radio a lot, to KNBR up there in the Bay Area. But once I did get access to television, I grew up watching ABC7 for local news and for national news. So that was always what I tuned into through my young or my late adolescence into my teenage years and even beyond living in the Bay Area until my late 20s. So that was a huge deal. And I'm incredibly proud to be a part of the team that is on the air there. I grew up just north of San Francisco in a little town in North Marin called Novato, which most people, they hear that and they think, Nevada? No, Novato. It's Novato, California. It's, where's that? Oh, north of San Francisco. Okay. So for us to be on the air there is a huge opportunity. And since we've been on the air there, I've heard from plenty of people that I went to high school with, even people that I went to elementary school with, contacting me and saying, hey, are you on this show? On? Yes, that's me. And yes, that's the show. Please continue to watch it because it's awesome that we're on the air in the area that I grew up, let alone on ABC7. That's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm not sitting here trying to toot our horns, but I am. But Grant, you too, you and I are virtually the same age. You're a TV geek like I am, broadcasting geek. You're unfortunately not on the show, and I'm hoping in time to get you back on there. But, you know, on a channel like ABC7.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I was there. I think maybe we did a little a trial run on KOFY, maybe.
We did. We were on.
And, which was TV 20. Which when I was growing up, they had TV20's dance party. And when I was in high school, I was on that once. So to be broadcast in the Bay Area is just awesome because I have family there. I have, you know, as John said, all the people I went to high school with and all that stuff. And it is very cool to be on TV in the Bay Area, but also to just be like, yeah, remember in high school, I was in the theater. Now I'm on TV. Yeah. Hey, look at that, everybody. And nobody really cares. But, you know, it is really cool to be on the air in your hometown. It really does mean a lot.
Gotcha. Now, I'm working hard for Nick Bonanno hasn't said anything, but he's from New York. So I'm working to get you on WABC there too.
Awesome.
Okay, so let me get a better reaction. Channel 6 Philadelphia is on its way, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. I'm sorry. I was waiting
There's
for Banano.
There's saucer eyes over there.
I was waiting for Banano to say more than one word with that mustache. It's very distracting, right?
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Philadelphia needs it. That's perfect.
So when we do that local version, whether we have to shoot it in Orlando, we'll ship it up to Channel 6.
Okie dokie.
All right.
The proceeding has been a presentation of the United Wrestling Network.